Kaz and AJ, Premier Auto Group News.
Friday night. At the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Jimmy, where would you put that show on a 10 scale?
I've probably seen 10,000 shows, so putting something on a 10 scale is pretty high, but I would certainly put it in the 8 or 9 scale. I'm not real familiar with their music, so, I know Everlong, I know a number of their songs, but it's not like I come home and I listen to Foo Fighters that often. So it's hard personally to put it in my top 10, but I will say that emotionally it was certainly in my top 10.
And why?
Because I was able to see an artist that is a stadium act, a festival act, an arena act, an amphitheater act, big amphitheater act, in a venue that was much smaller than they would normally play, much smaller than they should play from an economic standpoint. And when I see creativity come ahead of economics or commerce, I just really love it because it reminds me of when I first started, when artists would say, we want to play the right room, not the room we make the most money in. And I really think that's what built up our business. And I think this did probably more for the Foo Fighters' career and for certainly the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater's career than most any show we've seen in probably decades in Connecticut.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation concert got on. We're talking about the Foo Fighters Friday at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, sold out in 5 seconds. Concerts are magical, and they're either a collection of great songs and everybody loves them, or then it crosses this line into a spiritual event where the audience, whether it's 10,000 or 80,000, becomes one unit. And I feel like that was achieved there in such a way that people will remember that show for the rest of their lives.
Yes, yes. And let's add to the fact that it's been 16 years since they played Connecticut, so it's not something you see every day. And all of a sudden they decide to play a smaller venue. They haven't been in Connecticut since 2005. And I think that is certainly an incredibly unusual experience to have an artist spend so much time on the road but not hit Connecticut. So, you're right. And spiritually, and I use the word emotionally, I look at them similarly, and I think that that audience of 6,000 people knew they were seeing something very, very special.
What time did the band roll in, and were you there, and what was it like backstage?
Well, certainly I was there worrying about them getting there because of what happened to us in Syracuse on last Wednesday night when they were stuck on the runway for 4 hours before they could even take off to get to Syracuse. So I was certainly most concerned about, are they here yet? So I got up there around 4:30 in the afternoon. They got in right around 5 o'clock, and we had a pig roast backstage from Hoodoo Brown, which is a restaurant in Ridgefield that came up and roasted a pig.
That's
and
great.
We invited the band to the pig roast, and they loved it. So we wanted to show them that we thought they were very special. So we did something very special backstage for them.
So before you have a pig roast, do you ask if the band are vegetarian?
Yeah, any versions of meat.
That could be,
yeah.
Offensive. Like, oh my God, right. What's going on here?
Right. Oh yeah, we go further than that. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but I'm not into seeing a pig spin around on one of those metal spears.
Yeah, same here, man. Yeah, I can't look at that.
Yeah, I'm not. That's sort of cremation to me, it seems like. So I was not really keen on the whole idea, but Howard was loving the idea, and he was right. The band loved the idea, so I said, okay, I'll deal with this. I'll come up once the pig's off the whatever they call that thing.
Yeah.
And they opened up the pig, and they started to, take the meat out. And, listen, I eat meat, so I don't see that step, but I guess most animals go through that. But I have to tell you that the band thought it was particularly special. And yes, the band took part in it, and they clearly loved the whole idea of doing something special.
That's great.
And they did express how special the venue was. Quite often from the stage, it was really.
Oh, really?
That's when it, yeah, it's really very pleasing when they talk about how great the venue is and how special the venue is.
Oh, that's great!
It's gorgeous. That's why it's beautiful. Yeah.
They played for 2 hours. Was it
2.5 hours?
Wow, 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Was that planned? Do you guys go over that part of it or not really?
Well, there is a set list, but not every band really goes exactly by the set list. So I can't say specifically whether they did follow the set list because I did not stand outside and watch every song. I was backstage doing things. So I can't tell you whether they really followed the set list, but they did have a set list.
It's funny because people think that you're backstage, you know, working on making sure that show is going well. But I was with you opening night, and it was neat to be a fly on the wall traveling around with Jimmy Complic backstage on opening night because you think it's going to be there's holes that need to be plugged and things that need the fires that need to be burned out. He was in a conference room working on future shows.
Yep.
That's exactly what I was doing, actually.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was doing. But, you know, the season never ends. With COVID, we actually are booking way further in advance. We've already got 12 shows booked for next summer. So,
can you tell us any of them?
Eventually, sure.
Just not right now.
Well, I want to make sure this season ends first, and then we'll talking about next season.
Yeah, let's get through one at a time.
Exactly, right. Finish the meal first.
For me, musically, this season ended last night with Alice Cooper because I'm not into Erykah Badu or NF or Suicide Boys or all these bands that I have no idea who they are. I know who Erykah Badu is, but I really don't know much else that's going on. So.
How was Alice Cooper last night? Were you there for that?
I was not there for that. The agent and the manager weren't there. I was supposed to play golf with Alice yesterday morning, but he decided to play golf somewhere else. So I said, you know what? I really don't know Alice that well, so I decided to stay home. I had worked Wednesday night and got home at 3:30 in the morning.
Oof.
And then I worked Friday night. So I said to myself, you know what? I'll take my time off and get ready for Farm Aid.
But
it's this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow.
More big stuff.
That's another big show for Connecticut. It's like two in a row.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we'll talk about Farm Aid Thursday. I'll go over the whole schedule for everybody. And we can really tell everybody. I could tell everybody the story how it happened, which was really great how it happened. They were supposed to play somewhere else, and we stole it from somewhere else. So there's a lot to talk about on Thursday's show for sure.
That's why we're lucky to have you here in Connecticut. You're out there stealing shows for us.
Thank you.
Anybody see our Farm Aid? We were supposed to have a Farm Aid over here.
I think Jimmy took it.
I don't know. Check. Go question Jimmy Koplik.
Get me Koplik.
Get it again.
Get me Koplik on the phone.
I remember putting my fist in the air when I got that show. I said, oh, my God, I did steal it. Fabulous. Awesome. I love it.
Don't you forget about me. So what time during the Foo Fighters show do you press send and send the money over to them? Do they have to get
to the next day.
The next day?
The next day.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't pay anybody by check anymore. We wire money. So it's actually today they'll get wired their money. But
oh, wow.
Push the button.
It actually took a whole different way of doing business post-COVID. We do everything by wire. We settle most of the time by what we call remote. We don't sit in front of each other and go over numbers anymore because we don't know who the person we're sitting in front of.
Right.
And, you know, it was a very, very safe night because everybody had to show either a vax card or a 48-hour test.
How did that go at the gates? Was that smooth?
So smooth that we opened the gates 2.5 hours in advance, and it was great for the people that were there early because they got to enjoy the venue, which everybody has heard about how many great food and clubs we have there and things like that. What we did is we made the venue a destination spot rather than just a concert venue, so people could get there early and feel more comfortable.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. So just people zip right in.
They zipped right in. It really was handled beautifully. And I got tested for the second time because at every Foo Fighters show, if you work backstage, you have to get tested.
Yeah, that's great.
Even if you're vaccinated, you have to get tested.
Same with KOL, yep.
You know, when I do get that test, I'm like, oh, man, I hope You know, you,
you sit there, you're like, okay.
It's that.
Well, let's see if this vaccine worked.
Maybe I haven't. I don't know. But it's a big relief when you get the negative result.
Like $1 million. You're like, wow.
Woo, I hit the lottery.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's funny. The first time I got tested, which was not for the Foo Fighters, it was a different show. I said to myself, you know what? If I have it and I feel as good as I do, that would really be great.
That is true.
Because you only get better from there.
Exactly right. Yeah. I feel euphoric now.
That's how stupid I think. Hey, it must be asymptomatic. I have it, and I feel great. But I didn't want that to happen to the Foo Fighters because I couldn't have gone. I would have had to go home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to go home.
So did you go out for the first song of the Foo Fighters, or what part of the night did you go out and check it out?
Oh, I absolutely went out for the first song. It's a great opening song. It's one of those, I remember when Paul McCartney first got on stage and he did Hello Goodbye, and I said, what a great opening song for Paul McCartney. And they do Times Like These as their opening song, and it's so prophetic and it's so meaningful, that song, considering the times that we're in.
Yeah. Love that drum sound.
And I was there for the opening night, and everything was perfect on the opening night.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. I thought we were going to hear some things. But it's even better now.
Yeah.
You know?
You're more fine-tuned.
I feel like that sound system is so sweet.
Yeah.
We got a lot of positive comments on the sound, and I must say, people blame the venue for bad sound. And they also give credit to the venue for good sound. But in most cases, it's the guy sitting behind the board.
Yeah.
The soundboard that really makes the sound work or not work. For instance, I heard some complaining about the sound for REO Speedwagon, but not for Styx. And I said, well, you know what?
There you go.
The venue didn't change. The guy sitting behind the soundboard changed.
Yeah.
So I give credit to the people on the road all the time, and our company supported Crew Nation with over $10 million to help all the crews during the COVID thing. They're the unsung heroes, the sound people, the loaders, my guys at Local 74, who I love, my union guys at Local 74. They're fabulous, and as I've said over and over again, union labor is the best labor, and I'm very supportive of union labor, they're the unsung heroes, and every artist and every promoter knows that. And the guy who does the sound for Foo Fighters is an absolute expert.
Oh yeah, right. When AJ and I went out to introduce you on the opening night, the guy behind the soundboard kept playing music as I was speaking, and I'm like, all right, that's fine. And then Jimmy starts talking, and I'm thinking, this guy doesn't realize who Jimmy is.
Like, hello.
He books your band, man.
Right. Hey, stop it.
Sign the paycheck.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. He signs the paycheck, man.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
All right. So
you guys are great opening night. You were stars.
It was an honor to be part of that.
It was so awesome.
I'll never forget you for letting me do that.
Yeah, it was a great night.
Thank you. Yeah,
you know what? This truly.
Did I just hear someone's stomach? Was that your stomach, Jimmy?
That was my dog's stomach.
Oh.
Oh.
Dog went,
That was my little puppy's stomach. Yeah.
Time to feed the doggy.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Breakfast time.
Yes, that's true. She's a little playing around here right now.
Aww.
Puppies are not easy, let me tell you.
No,
they're not easy.
Yeah.
They chew.
Right, the teething time.
Everything.
The little needle teeth.
Oh, yeah, including my fingers and my toes and everything. Oh, my goodness. This is something.
Just establishing leader.
Was licking my nipple the other night.
Were you dreaming?
Which cat?
Were you dreaming?
Furley.
Kept saying, there's no milk coming out of this.
The dude.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I have never had my nipple licked before. This is the very first time.
With a raspy tongue.
Weird.
Yeah.
So about 5 minutes later, Jennifer comes out and starts licking my nipple. I'm like, this is weird.
Two in one night.
It's never happened before, and now it's happened twice in one night.
Right.
Was it the same
one?
So
you know what? I'm trying to teach my dog just to... I'm just trying to teach my dog how to make outside instead of inside right now.
Yeah.
The nipple licking is going to come later in her life.
Yeah, that's much later on. Right? There's a lot more training to do.
Duty.
Yeah.
Jimmy Koplik is on A-plus on the show Friday. Oh, my God, at the amphitheater, Foo Fighters. And we'll talk to you Thursday at 8:20 about Farm Aid, and we'll hear how Connecticut got that show. Jimmy stole it.
Stolen.
So don't tell anyone, though.
Right. No.
And we'll also tell everybody the schedule so they know when to come and when everybody's going to get on stage, because there's obviously a lot of stars there. So.
Oh, awesome. Great.